Hello and welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for people who want to watch all this prestige television, but who's got time for it?
You know I don't.
Oh, guys. You know what time it is? You know what time it is? Or, I guess,
tool time.
Day it is. Happy 420, everybody! Woo!
It is, in fact,
the
20th April as we record.
The 23rd, I believe. But right now we are recording on 420, so... Yeah, if you celebrate 420, I'm sure you're probably still celebrating 420 right now.
Only if you celebrate it the weed way.
What's the other way to celebrate it?
It's also Hitler's birthday.
What the fuck, man?
Oh, fuck, man. What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Oh. That's Nuremberg. That's Adolf Hitler. He was leader of the runners-up in World War II.
No.
No, I did not bother to learn Hitler's birthday at any point. Never in my mind have I gone, oh, I wonder what Hitler's birthday is.
I only know
it
because
happened.
I only know it because I was warned, hey, watch out for people who are celebrating on 420, but it's not about weed. Because you don't want to deal with those people.
Difference of who's celebrating what in that case.
Yeah.
But honestly, don't we all wish that little Adolf would have just stayed home and smoked weed instead of doing anything else?
I saw a really funny TikTok the other day that was like art student builds time machine. And he's all like, that's it. I'm tired of having to learn about this fucking Austrian painter. He sucks. I'm going back in time and changing this.
Oh, my God.
Well, speaking of... huge disasters. I went and I watched the April Fool's Day episode of Viper. The episode of Viper. And holy shit, how did you pick that episode? Was that random? Because
yeah, I rolled dice.
My God, it was bad.
I literally just was all like, not doing the pilot. Grabbed the dice that I happened to have in my dice tray, rolled them, counted that many episodes, went for it.
Wow, man. I just figured I listened to the podcast episode, so it's kind of spoiled for me. Anyway, I might as well watch the episode. You know, no rules broken there. And wow, it is so bad. Man. And you know what's amazing is that show had 22 episode seasons for four seasons.
Yeah, I missed 22 episode seasons, man.
Yeah. I've been freaking pissed, man. Especially because I've been binging Shogun, and good Lord, they are moving at a snail's pace. I'm like, man, we got one more episode before. No spoilers, but I was promised big freaking, like, they've been teasing the cannons and the samurai battles, and I'm like, I want some fucking cannon and the chain shot. They mentioned the chain shot, and I haven't seen the chain shot yet.
It'll come around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I appreciate our new prestige TV lifestyle, but it does also mean like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
You got to be economical with it. You don't get the weird stuff you get in the 22 or 26 episode seasons where you're just like,
yeah.
And I understand it all now. Okay. We've written 50 of these. What do we do? Okay, yeah, they go boxing. Whatever. That's why every show had a boxing episode.
I'm catching up on Ghosts right now, the US version on CBS, and that is a sitcom that has 22 episodes like the days of yore. 22 episode seasons, and it's fantastic, by the way. If you haven't watched Ghosts, it's a lot of fun. So, the basic premise is this couple inherits this mansion shortly into the first episode. One of the main characters trips, falls down the stairs, has a near-death experience, and when she recovers, she can now see ghosts. And she finds all of the ghosts that inhabit this old-ass mansion that they've inherited.
That does sound familiar.
There's a UK version that ran for 2 or 3 seasons, but only has like 8 episodes total or something.
Is that the one with Ricky Gervais, or am I thinking something else?
That's The Office.
Oh, no, there is a movie where...
I know.
But I believe unrelated. But yeah, that does make me think of one of my favorite comments about British TV is one of the most celebrated British TV shows. It ran for 30 episodes over 10 seasons over 25 years. Put on the telly.
Yeah, well, by the way, Shameless season 2, episode 4.
Yep, a beautiful mess. And I don't know what your guys' childhood experiences were like. Mm-hmm. So I want to learn a little bit more about you guys. Some, you know, especially you, Victor.
Yeah.
Well, it's just because I've known Jafar I know Jafar's sister, so I've heard stories.
It's not my enduring personality and my Victorian charm.
Yeah.
It's overexposure to me makes something new look fun and interesting.
So I'm just, you know, capping it at what you feel comfortable sharing. What is your guys' trashiest, lowbrowiest childhood memory? Like something that would fit into this show. And I'll go first so you guys can think about it. I had two friends who decided that they really, really wanted to go vandalize a bowling alley sign. Like, they had one of the signs up, like, Wednesday dollar bowling, Thursday leagues. And so wrote down every word they were using in the sign and then spent, like, an hour with them trying to figure out what they could use from the letters that were there to make it say the funniest thing. They run over to try and start moving the letters around, immediately snap one in half, panic, and come diving back into the car, just as like the neighbors next to the bowling alley's dogs start barking. And so they are in a complete panic, calling me, swing back around, come get us. And I come back and they are just hiding in a ditch, like, we gotta get out of here, man, we gotta get out. Like, nobody saw you, get out of the ditch. And so I ended up wasting 4 hours all told for them to just break a letter on a sign, and that was their whole big plan. And I just remember feeling like, you guys should have done better than this. Like, this was a giant, like, waste of time.
Well, what did you end up doing anything with the letters?
No, because they just snapped one in half and heard a dog barking and just ran off into
just
the night.
It.
Okay.
In high school, I did some dumpster diving. Like, that's something that would fit into the show. You know, I've peeled off and ran from, like, mall security guards from dumpster diving, even though it's perfectly legal.
It depends.
No. So anything thrown away becomes part of public domain. That's like a Supreme Court case. Like, they can't get you for theft for taking things out of a dumpster.
It's trespassing.
But it's trespassing. They can get upset at you for. But it depends a lot on where you do it, because depending on your state and municipality, strip malls and malls in general are considered public spaces you can't be prosecuted for loitering or trespassing.
I know a little bit about this because I had an ex-girlfriend who was really big into dumpster diving, and we live in I live here in the TCU neighborhood in Fort Worth, which is one of the most expensive universities in the US. I think it's in the top 10 list. So there's a bunch of fucking spoiled ass rich white kids who live in this area.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got like 19, 20 year olds driving fucking BMWs all up in this. There's a ton of them parked across the street from me. And yeah, my ex-girlfriend was really big into dumpster diving. She like found when the end of the semester was going to be, when all these kids are going to move back to California or wherever. And we'd go over and she would find all kinds of like designer clothes. And I've got a pillow upstairs. I'm not ashamed to say this, but this is a fucking real ass goose feather pillow that one of these kids just threw away. Like, these things aren't cheap, dude. It was a nice ass pillow. And yeah, it was, anyway. Yeah. I've got a trash pillow that I sleep on, and it is so comfy. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead. I just remember I used to be a manager at a CVS, and part of it is the insurance. You don't want somebody injuring themselves inside your dumpster and suing you.
Yes, that's a thing. And then also adding things to the dumpster is illegal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other thing as well. So, like, security guards have reason to chase. But as far as actually doing something illegal, nah. But I would say probably the trashiest moment of my childhood is from how I originally messed up my bad knee.
I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee.
So I have a bad knee. It's in pretty decent shape these days. I took care of it for a long time. But it gave me problems different points over the years. I spent a couple years of my life unable to run. Because if I put too much pressure on this knee, it would just cave and I would fall.
Yeah, I know
and
that
how I fucked up this knee originally was my parents were out of town, but I was grounded. And I think they were on a trip with my sister for school or hockey, probably. Because I was home alone. But I had my car, you know, like I was of a driving age. And so I went to the mall with my best friend from high school, Jay. And we were just doing stupid shit. And I ran up the down escalator. We were doing this, taking turns, going up the down escalator at this very empty mall. And I fell and tore open my knee really bad. You could see tendon and stuff. Like it was really gross. And because I did not want to go to the hospital because I was grounded, we went to Jay's parents and in the upstairs bathroom just poured hydrogen peroxide on my knee until it stopped foaming to make sure that it wasn't infected because escalators are gross. And the hydrogen peroxide, we found out over the years, actually did more damage than the initial injury.
Oh, wow.
And that's why my knee was so fucked for so long.
Ouch.
That feels like that's that brutal. Could happen in this show.
Yeah.
So I guess that's got to be the
you
the
needed a Veronica in your
childhood.
Life too.
Yes, to tell us to use alcohol and not hydrogen peroxide on a deep wound. Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's savage.
Yep.
So the first thing that came to mind immediately, it still counts as childhood, I guess, because I was probably 18, 19 at the time. Mm-hmm. I was living on South Fifth Street in Austin, and this was back in early 2000s, back before it was gentrified and it was a shithole. And I think I had just moved in because one of my other friends had moved out, and it was my buddy Mikey, Nate, Aaron. Well, anyway, their names aren't important, but I go over there. They were hosting a LAN party, and haven't heard that term in a while, have you? So I go over there for a LAN party, and I go to use the bathroom. They're out of toilet paper, so I have to go get a paper towel from the kitchen or something, and the toilet clogs up. And I'm like, guys, where's the plunger? And the response I get from the other room while these guys are playing StarCraft is, no plunger, dude, you got to shit pipe it. And I'm like, what does shit pipe mean? So this is the plan, this brilliant plan these guys had to save money on like a $1.99 plunger. They took the shower curtain down. So there's no shower curtain. They took the shower rod. And what you do is you jam the rod down there into the toilet and blow on the other end to clear out whatever the clog is. So they explained this to me. So then I asked what I felt was a very important question. I asked, which end is which? The response was, we don't know anymore, dude.
How often do they do this?
No. I know, right? Well, dude, we were 18, 19, having LAN parties. We were nerds. We had a diet of Mountain Dew and ramen noodles. I imagine it happened once in a while. So, fucking shit pipers.
Oh, the shit pipe. I'm just going to throw this out there. J-hooks are like $3 more than a plunger and 100% worth your time. Just buy a J-hook. You'll be happier in the long run.
I don't think I'm familiar, so thank you.
Yeah, I'm writing that down. I think I know what you're talking about, but I might not be sure.
It's in the plumber's aisle of Home Depot. Yeah. They're like $15, and they are a giant auger on a big J pipe.
Oh, is that the one that has the crank on it? Or is it?
Yeah, it has a little crank on it, and so you like set it inside the toilet so that it goes up and in and then around, so you don't damage the insides of the toilet with a metal auger. And then you can go like 4 or 5 feet down and clear out whatever the problem is.
I need one of those for my garbage disposal because that bitch is broke.
Don't use an auger on a garbage disposal.
Well, I'm out of ideas. Damn it.
We'll talk about it later. This is not going to become a home repair podcast.
Hey, man, you never know what you're going to get on Last Time On, man. We've got great advice.
I've got some helpful hints.
Dumpster
we'll
diving, shit piping, we cover everything, dude.
So a couple of things here as this episode starts. Debbie yelled at us, like specifically the three of us, wanting to know why we're watching the show like this.
I love that.
I thought that was a lot of fun. And I'm glad that we got that before the skip recap came up. Like,
yeah,
thank you. Thank you, Netflix. Or, well, thank you, show, for having a bumper before the actual recap, because it gives me a moment to not spoil things instead of just going straight into the recap. But I really appreciate the, where the fuck were you? That's, you know what I'm doing.
That was awesome. Yeah, yeah, I noticed the skip recap had a lag, has a delay, so.
Yeah.
I caught the beginning of Lip talking to a fucking army colonel, it looked like, but that was it. Then I skipped recap, and I kept myself pure. I saved myself for the episode.
But
we've got a real theme song now,
theme
too.
Theme song and credits.
I did put that down. Hey, yeah, you mentioned that.
I was
that
so excited.
Part. Yep. I was like, oh, Jafar's going to be happy about that. Oh, and by the way, I was wrong about this show being based on a book. I just, because I actually saw it this time with the credits popped up in the opening credits. I previously just saw based on whatever, and I just assumed that it was a book. But no, it's actually just based on the original British version of Shameless, which I accidentally watched the other day because I couldn't get my girlfriend couldn't get her Netflix account to work. So I just looked it up. I'm like, oh, it's streaming on Freevee. And then I loaded up this episode, season 2, episode 4, which was totally fucking different. So that's interesting. And IMDb, that's a flaw with IMDb. These shows have the same name, but it doesn't differentiate.
Mm.
It says available on Netflix, Freevee, Tubi. No, it's not. It's the British version is available for free on all those, but this one is apparently only on Netflix. So anyway, FYI. We open in Media Daycare.
Yeah.
Run by a minor. Home daycare run by a freaking 11-year-old.
Not even. She's in fourth grade, which would make her, what, like 9?
They mentioned that she's 11 because her birthday is coming up. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't remember what grade.
I have a lot of questions about the kids' various ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also,
especially our new cast member, Ethel.
Yes.
Yes.
Who the hell is this girl?
Yeah. So all kinds of stuff happened here.
We have so many questions.
I have to wonder if perhaps we've made a mistake. If perhaps we've made a critical error by picking this show. Is this show just a whirlwind of bullshit constantly that we'll be unable to follow by skipping episodes?
It's not a mistake. It's perfect. This is this is what this show is made for. You
this
know?
Is a stress test.
Hell yeah.
Right. Okay. Fair. So we get some rapid fire stuff right off the top of this episode. We get the daycare. We get Ethel. We get Fiona being chased by someone's wife,
Lucy
Joe, husband she had slept with.
Yeah, she comes in pretending to Lucy be Joe. Trying to get her kid into daycare and then just punches Fiona in the face for sleeping with her husband.
I don't think she was pretending. I think she just had the baby and was like on her way to, I don't know, go shopping or whatever, and was all just like, oh, by the way, while I'm in the neighborhood, I'm going to go fight this bitch. And just happened to be carrying her baby.
Sounds like Chicago
she grabbed
to me.
Baseball bat. She's got baby in one hand, baseball bat in the other, just chasing Fiona.
God. Yeah, it's funny. We cut over to Frank, who is with Sheila, who we learn is Clown House Mom.
Yes.
It's Joan Cusack.
And did anybody
That's
recognize
fun.
The naked dude?
I was not looking at the naked dude's face.
Jafar, his eyes are up here.
I didn't notice.
He is Charles Vane in Black Sails, which is a great show.
I recognized him, or I should say I recognized his face. From
he is full Wang out, everybody.
From full, we get a TV, we get a screen full of dick just right off the bat. No, I recognized him from The Walking Dead. He was one of the saviors. Anyway, I won't deep dive into The Walking Dead, but he was one of the bad guys.
This is Jody, a.k.a. Chody. And the way he's talking about Joan Cusack, I'm like, is this a son that we just didn't meet?
Well, guys, Hey, we got
we,
is our
we find
first,
out.
Yeah. What, do we though? Do we get a backstory on Jody? Because I still don't know where the hell he's from. So I was gonna say, guys, let's get weird with it.
Let's get weird.
All right.
Okay. Who's Jody? Where'd he come from?
Jody just took a bus here one day. He thought he was getting on a bus to LA. He only had enough ticket to get to Chicago and had no idea. He grew up in rural Ohio because he looks like the type.
He does.
And he was hoping to make it to LA to start a career as a actor.
I was going to say
of the
adult
variety. he just got to Chicago.
No, man, he's totally was going to had a gig lined up as a shampoo commercial model.
Ooh,
that's what he looks
call.
Like.
Yeah, him and Michael Dorn are going to sell Head and Shoulders.
So I'll go next. I have a whole ass theory here that this will explain the origin story of Ethel and Jody here. I think that the bar that is the main bar of the show, the Alibi, which by the way is a great name for a bar.
It is.
Is yeah.
There's one named that right by me, actually.
I'm going to say the owner died and they're trying to keep it a secret, right? And because, you know, Kevin works there and it's hinted at that, well, Frank lied about working there. And so what they do is they go into the office of the owner. They have to break the door down because it's locked and they find a vault down there in the basement. Ooh. And in this basement, there is a bunch of liquor. And they're like high priced liquor because it's been aged forever. It's been sitting there for decades. So they're like, whoa. Well, I guess it's not really, it has to be in a barrel to age, but it's old ass liquor, old cheap liquor. So they're like, oh, okay, sweet. Awesome. Yeah, cool. But behind all these liquor cabinets, they find a couple of cryo units. And because I got the vibe from Jody here that he's got a weird vibe, you know, like he's not from this time. It reminded me almost of Encino Man, you know, like he's this fucking caveman. So I think he is a dude from the 50s along with Ethel, like the 50s or 60s, and they unfroze them and their memories are like fuzzy. And that's why Ethel is Ethel with her Mennonite looking clothes and her, I don't know, maybe Jody is also from the same cult that Ethel was in. And they unfroze them. And that's why Ethel is living with Kevin and Veronica and Jody is sleeping on the couch at Sheila's place. And that's because later we find out that Jody and Karen are engaged, but Jody sleeps on the couch. So I think he has that 50s mentality of like, oh, we can't share a room together until we're married. Yeah, that's my theory.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I want to know how close I am.
I have to try and one up cryopods in the bar basement. So I'm just going to go with Jody. Jody seems like a very go with the flow kind of guy. I don't know. Fair. Maybe I'm wrong, but he seems like the kind of guy where you'll meet them and people will say, hey, man, still waters run deep. Like, it doesn't look like much is going on there because he's thinking about deep stuff. And I'm like, sometimes it's just a puddle. Like, it's still waters because there's nothing there. So I think Jody could not tell you where he's from. Jody... It has passed through his mind. It is gone. Jody seems to very much go with the flow. He does not catch that Lip is out to get him. He doesn't see that Frank is using Sheila. It is just commercial jingles going on behind the scenes. So I believe that Jody is as close as you can get to an actual tabula rasa. Like, he is the perfect blank slate man.
For listeners at home who don't know what a tabula rasa is, could you give us a definition? Because, you know, asking for a friend.
A tabula rasa is a blank slate. It is...
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Yep.
What the hell? All these years, I've heard that term in various places, but I never bothered to look it up. Huh. Your diary today, I learned.
All right, well, we got weird with it.
And we do, so part of this is we find out that we now have three houses of ne'er-do-wells that we are following the activities of.
Yeah. Well, we saw this house last episode.
Yeah, but it is a going concern, and now Frank has moved from main house over to Sheila's house.
Well, I'd say it was already a concern, being how many fucking clowns are up in the house previously. So,
yeah.
It is a different kind of concern now. Oh, yeah. So I'll say that.
Lip buys some weed from Karen, but is not getting sex this time, which is a recent change due to Karen's engagement.
Yep.
Now, I have a question here. Okay. So Karen's rolling the joints, and she says to Lip, 200 bones at 50 cents a pop. So does that mean she just rolled 400 joints? Because I did some math. It's not Jafar level math, but it is math. It counts as math nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And there
aren't 400 joints in that bag.
Yeah. But how much does that mean she's selling weed at 50 cents a joint? Is that what the going price is for weed? Because I don't...
I mean, this is 10 years
ago. I mean,
it's
been a while. Yeah, you can't even get bubble gum for 50 cents a piece, man.
Maybe that's how much profit they're making.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
So once we've sold all of these, we've made 400 bones.
Listeners in the Discord, let us know.
Yeah, tell us about the economics of your drug dealing. Tell us about your profit margins. Please don't.
Carl hanging out with a kid who is just bad fucking news.
When you are
Ben,
bad news
of all the anxiety driving things.
when Carl is the not awful one in a duo, like
yeah.
Yeah, they're stealing a guy's liquor. They're doing like a house sitting business, which I get that. Part of this is, hey, scammers be scamming and stuff. Who is hiring fourth graders, fifth graders?
Thank you.
To house sit.
That's exactly what I wrote down. I was like, who the fuck would hire these kids? Hire any kid to house sit for them? That's like, I remember when I was a kid, I was too young to realize I was being exploited for child labor when I was like in junior high. Mm-hmm. And one of the members of our church, like, they didn't ask me, or maybe they asked my parents, and they had me after school going over to their house doing like manual labor, like heavy manual labor, when I was like 11, 12 years old, in their backyard, paying me $5, you know, $5 for an hour's work of backbreaking labor out in the sun. And after doing that twice, I quit. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is bullshit, man. So, like, little poor communities like this, I could see them hiring a kid to do some work, but not house sitting. That's no.
Yeah, I'm not giving a random kid I don't know
and
the keys to my house.
Kids.
No, yeah.
We get a little bit more with Ethel here. There's some comments about her swimwear.
Yeah.
I loved the photo gag where they did a
The black and white photos, yes. Yeah. Lends credence to your theory.
Yeah.
We also see now that Deb has a stress rash.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
When I was stressed out by my career at the highest point, I never got a rash. Maybe that is what the hell is on my hand. Actually, maybe that's what this is.
Maybe you have one now.
Maybe I do have one that I never realized. But no, when I was at the high point, I was getting nosebleeds constantly because of my freaking blood pressure. Like, my eyeball would twitch, but apparently I did get a rash because I got this thing on my hand right here, so maybe that's what that is.
I get an eye twitch.
It's definitely gone down since I retired, so.
They take Deb over to Veronica, who's like, yeah, you got a stress rash, and it's like, oh man, a fourth grader with a stress rash. Like, even Fiona's like, oh, yeah, we're kind of fucking up here. And they mention Steve, who I'm going to say, Steve, not around, because last time on, they accidentally lit Steve on fire, and Steve is in the burn unit.
I'm still alive, only I'm very badly burned.
Steve's...
That tracks.
They managed to make Steve's life worse by lighting him on fire.
That's why he's not answering the phone.
Nice. I wouldn't.
Because, you know, that's interesting because I noticed he was still credited. He's still in the credits, but he's not actually in. So I guess that's just credit for the fact that they used his voice for the voicemail.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's like signed to the season.
I had a different theory for where Steve is. So if I may last time on as well, I was going to say that his car stealing business caught up with him, and he had like a rival mafia gang something
played by Christopher Eccleston.
Yes, yeah, gone in 60 seconds exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Doctor Who showed up and was like, get the fuck out of my, you're getting up in my territory. And Steve had to go take a vacation
down old Mexico way?
Yeah, he's out of the country for a little while until the heat cools down.
My yeah. uncle had to do that.
I like that theory.
Wait, I thought Jafar was the one with the...
But anyways, I'm going to say last time on. If we need to. I'm not too concerned about it. It's probably not a true story. My dad had a penchant for fucking lying. So.
You know what? My parents too. Quick little backstory. When I was a kid, I grew up as a Mormon. I don't know if I ever mentioned this before, but yeah, I don't do that shit anymore. No, not in the least, but Mormons are really big on genealogy, and yeah. My parents researched the family line, and there was apparently they lied to me about where our family was, because I actually looked at the paperwork eventually at some point, and they told me that the first members of my family line to come to the Americas were pilgrim settlers, but there's also apparently a really big chance that they came over on prison ships. I am totally down for that theory though.
This reminds me of a funny story between Jafar and I. We were once having an argument about our ancestry, and I had two family members who had fought in the Revolutionary War, but they were, you know, just soldiers. And mm-hmm. Jafar was like, but yes, I'm related to somebody, and I believe you said he was a major?
Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody was a major in the Revolutionary War, so my family is more American than yours, and we had to decide that. Well, my wife is related to Martha Washington, so if George Washington has been inside one of your ancestors, you are most American.
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
World Wide Web? Is there a way to put this on just the American part?
Oh, and at the pool party that Ethel is throwing for her daycare business, wow, I totally thought that Kevin, when he first showed up, that he was Jason Momoa, because he looked like fucking Aquaman when he comes out of the water with his new haircut and the goatee. I was oh shit. And yeah.
Is Kevin Ethel's dad?
No.
Well, according to my theory, Kevin is actually, or Ethel is Kevin's grandmother.
But it does feel like Kevin and Ethel are somehow related.
It feels like Kevin is responsible for Ethel. Yeah. I'm guessing that there's like a thing where Ethel is, last time on, Ethel was rescued from a cult.
Yeah,
because she has those vibes.
Well, she says she has an old husband with 10 wives.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that Kevin is like pseudo-adopting her, and it started as a like 4A tax credit thing. Like Frank went on a whole thing about how he's got 6 kids, so he gets all this money from the government on his taxes back. And this started as them being like, well, we want kids for the tax credit, but we don't want kids. So let's find a 14-year-old that we don't really have to worry about.
But she also has a baby.
And that...
So, yeah, that's two even for more. One. Even more for tax credits. Yeah, Ethel looks like she's about 15. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Let's see here. A bunch of stuff happens. Ian wants to go to West Point. I wonder medical knowledge is used every episode or just the ones we watch.
Oh, we also get a drive-by milkshake to the face.
Exactly what I wrote.
I think I've slushied every one of you.
The thing that gets me about this milkshake to the face is Lucy Joe isn't driving. somebody else's.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And that other person can't have been Craig because she had to tell this person, hey, pull over to the right lane. I'm going to do a thing. Slow down. And just, she should have played softball because he's just right to the face. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Did we skip over Lip, the Joker, and this new girl shoplifting?
That's Ian wanting to go to West Point.
Yeah, they're just going through like a strip mall, just casually shoplifting.
Yeah.
This is Mandy.
Yes.
That's the girl, yeah.
Our next bit here, in my notes at least, is Lip is going full-on creeper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Karen leaves. Mm-hmm. And he's looking around for info on her boyfriend, but all he does is confirm the nickname.
Yep. We also see Sheila has some very intense OCD, but she's also like actively working on it. And it makes me sad because I'm like, I like Joan Cusack and I also like this person. And I'm just like, please get away from the Gallaghers, please.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I wrote down, it seems like she's got agoraphobia. Am I pronouncing that right? But people who are scared of going outside.
Yeah. No, that's correct.
And that is also mixed in with the OCD of her having to count her steps. And
see, I my theory is that last time on every episode, she has a new mental disorder of some kind. Because when we first meet her, she seemed like a germaphobe. So and now she's counting her steps, working on leaving the house, which apparently has Frank very concerned that she's leaving the house now. So,
yep. And we get a bit with Frank and Lip where Frank is freaking out because, oh no, once she gets out and like starts living life, she's going to you know, cut me loose. And Lip is like, hey man, nobody cuts an MVP. Like, start being a good partner. And he's like, or I can scare her.
And
he's so bad at it.
Yeah. But we see the amount of effort he is putting in to trying to like sabotage Sheila. That's like, I don't know if you've known people like this where it's just like, if you just put all of the effort you're putting into like, not like the kids you knew who like had 8 complex steps in order to get a day off of school. And it's like, you're putting in more than 8 hours worth of work trying to get 8 hours off. This is a net loss for you.
Oh yeah. I did this all the time at my old job. I would spend an entire day trying to figure out I used to be pretty good at like writing batch files and doing old school computer stuff and making spreadsheets. I'm nowhere near Javert level spreadsheet skills, but I would spend an entire day trying to figure out how to write a program to do all my work for me instead of just doing the actual work. So
that's just called automation and it's the future, Vic.
Yeah. And you know what? It did work for a little while. The problem is every time a system would update, it would fuck up all my scripts and I'd have to go in and fix everything. So it worked sometimes.
I know. Automation sounds a lot like automatons, and Super Earth has declared that those must be destroyed.
It's true.
Is that a Helldiver reference?
Yes.
Sure. Ben and I have been engaging in spreading managed democracy in our spare time.
We then cut to basketball practice.
Yeah.
Where Kevin is also a basketball coach for a youth league, and he tries...
Yes. Good for him.
Well, but... Like, Kevin seems nice, but then he's like, oh, hey, Ethel, you got a crush on Malik there? Hey, Malik, come over here. Mm-hmm. He knows Malik's girlfriend / the mother of his child is also on the team. And it's just like, come on, Kevin, you're not this dumb.
You know, it's funny that Kevin is more and more seeming like the one who's got his shit together the most out of everyone.
He is.
In this show. Hey, man. Him and Veronica. Yeah. Veronica's got skills. You know, she's got very useful skills. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kevin is the one I'm just like, I would trust you to house sit, Kevin.
Frank tries to scare Sheila after this and is just really bad at it. We talked about this a little bit. He takes the starter out of the oven rather than just disconnecting it and then says that it was just disconnected as he reconnects it. It's just like, you could have just left it in there rather than have to sneak it in. Like, we see him palm it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he talks about, you know, random people just shooting people at public places. And remember when this was fiction?
No, this was 2011. It was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still less than it was in the 90s.
Was it, though? 90s was pretty violent. Anyway, I don't want to get into it.
No, I'm saying that, yeah, the 90s was worse. That's when violent crime in America peaked.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. What was I going
to
say?
This is when Lip shows up and tries to get some more dirt on Jody and also tries to convince Karen to leave him. We cut over to Ethel and Malik hanging out.
First, we see a banner, though.
Yes, Lucy has a protest sign
with her three kids.
Dude, I got to say, I wrote down some of the insults that Lucy spit out because, man, they're great. She called Fiona a filthy penis mitten. I'm saving that for later. That's it says, I'm going to beat you like a pinata till candy flies out of your ass. I got to use those at some point. Those are great. It's fucking gold.
I miss the pinata parties. You remember that, Ben?
I do. I did. I cleaned up at those.
This used to be a thing that we'd do sometimes in college where we would fill a pinata with candy and dollar shots.
Yeah, the little airplane bottles.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And the secret.
I cannot believe.
Oh,
dude, go ahead.
The secret is, one, be more sober than everyone else, which I usually did. And two, people go revert back to their pinata basics. Hey, what's the candy I'm looking for? If you get all of the little bottles of booze, you can trade for whatever you want. And so in the time it takes you to grab a bag of Reese's Pieces, I've grabbed a little thing of rum. And when you're going for that second thing of Reese's Pieces, I've grabbed another thing of rum. And then later, you will happily trade 3 packets of Reese's Pieces for just 1 of my little things of rum. And so I would walk out of the pinata with like a dozen little bottles of liquor. And then I would trade for all the candy I wanted. Because
maybe we should bring that back for my birthday party this year.
Ooh, that sounds fun. This has been Pinata Tips with Ben.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do it in Vegas.
I don't know. This is
That's a great idea.
That's the week before my birthday, so maybe we can make that happen.
I feel like this is kind of indicative of who I am as a person, where it's just like, hey, if I get all of the booze, that turns into more candy. It's just like, I'm not getting, you know, drunk. I'm just like, ooh, I can get all of the Snickers bars.
Anyways, Ethel and Malik are hanging out, and I'm guessing that, yeah, they're like 14, each of them, maybe 15.
Yeah.
So Ethel and Malik are hanging out, and I'm guessing they're like 14, maybe 15. And it has to be lonely being a parent at that age. Like, you can't really have a lot of, you don't have anyone in common, anything really to talk about with other parents with children of similar ages, probably.
Yeah.
And children your age also don't have anything in common with you because you are a parent. Mm-hmm. So good for them for like being able to be peers, probably. That's probably a unique thing that they can share. So I guess I'm happy for them.
Although Veronica does have a great dig at Malik later. She's like, no, keep him away from Ethel. You don't want him around 14-year-olds with babies who can't read. And it's just like, oh, damn, sure. Veronica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Lip tries to get... Oh, what?
So did we skip over when... No, go ahead. I'm out of order here.
All right.
Or am I? When Amy Smart breaks through the door?
We're almost there.
Okay. Continue.
So we then have Lip has convinced Jody to go drink it with him at the Alibi as a way to ostensibly to scope it out for Sheila going there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Which I'm mad we're missing that episode. That is going to be nuts. Oh, yeah. But he's doing.
I don't think that happens, Ben.
I think that got canceled, but let's continue on.
Did you not see the immediate after credits scene, Ben?
No. There was an after credits?
There is a scene.
Yes, we'll get there.
It's mid-credits. We'll get there.
Okay. I turned it off at the credits.
Oh, bro! No,
there's like 2 credits and then like another 3 minutes of the show.
Oh, gosh darn it!
We'll talk about it when we get there. Don't worry about it.
Oh, dang! Okay. Uh-huh. But, so Lip is trying to get Jody drunk so he can, like, find out his secrets And Jody is just like, nah, I don't want.
Jody doesn't drink.
I don't drink. You know, it's fine. Whatever. Not interested. And so he has Kevin spill his Pepsi on him so that he can steal his wallet. And his wallet is even more of a, like, white noise machine than Jody is. Where it's like, hey, there's a picture of a poodle wearing pearls.
That was really cute.
I mean, it's just like, it's the sort of thing where...
Lip is a terrible person.
Oh, yeah. Lip is a monster. But also, Karen shows up, immediately busts into the men's room and is just like, hey, where's Jody's phone and wallet, asshole? It's just like, how well does she know Lip that she's just... able to see, like,
she knew.
Oh, I know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
She's got your number, dude. So much for making yourself be the MVP. He's being his dad.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
See, Ethel's helping Debbie with the daycare.
Oh, Kevin stole a gun.
Frank stole a gun.
Or not Kevin. Frank stole a gun from Kevin. Sorry. Because they're at the alibi. So he grabs a gun from behind the bar at the alibi. And then meets up with a guy shooting cardboard cutouts of Osama bin Laden to get some bullets.
Okay, and...
yeah, this is random. This is another character here.
And so, Vic, Jafar, I know you guys know how to use firearms. How much anxiety did you get when Frank is just like, a bullet's a bullet, like what? It fits! I'm just like, I wrote in my notes, like, this idiot's made a pipe bomb. He's going to blow himself up.
I looked this up because I'm not, you know, I've never held a Luger before, but apparently there is a 9mm version of a Luger.
Yeah.
Doubt that that's what he
picked up. Yeah, 9mm Luger is a ammunition you can buy. It's used in things other than Lugers. Interesting thing, though, the standard German Luger is chambered in 9mm. There are, I believe, 10 in existence chambered in 45 that were made for the U.S. Army before all of that World War II stuff happened, where they were like, hey, U.S. Army, replace that 1911, get the new hotness, we'll make your own Lugers. And it was decided that it was they liked it, but the 1911 was fine and was a bit more rough and tumble. So they decided just to keep the 1911. But there is a alternate timeline where American soldiers went into World War II with Lugers.
Have you ever seen a gun explode?
No, thank God.
I have. Oh, wow.
So I did a lot of competitive shooting back in high school. That was like my sport of choice. I did shotgun shooting. I shot skeet competitively.
Phrasing.
Sorry? No, it's the name of the sport.
No, I know it is, but I'm sorry.
You only say it once, it's the sport. Remember, it's like choo-choo. It's a sound.
I just had to bring some juvenile humor here. Sorry.
No, it's fine. My wallpaper for most of high school was...
Is it?
No, you're right. It was not juvenile. Juvenile is a different rapper.
That was another joke. I was yes-anding you, Victor. I'm sorry.
My wallpaper back in high school on my computer was a guy shooting skeet, and the out of the barrel of the gun was aw skeet skeet skeet, like drawn out. Like, so like I get it, like it's a fun joke. But at an event once, I saw someone had misloaded a choke, which is a adjustment you put in the top of the barrel of a shotgun in order to help control the pattern of the pellets, right? And so he had put the wrong choke in there and it was too tight or something for the shot that he was using, something along those lines, and it caused the end of the shotgun to go full Looney Tunes. It broken into 5 or 6 pieces and all like spread out and curled and stuff. It was terrifying. I was nowhere near it when it happened, but everyone heard it. And when you hear a bang loud enough at a shooting range to make everyone stop and wonder what the fuck just happened, you know that it's a bad day.
Oof.
So anyways, Kevin gets a bullet and tries to use it to Frank gets a bullet and tries to use it to scare Sheila and Karen. Karen, notably freaked out. Sheila cannot be boothered.
I'm above it. I'm above it. Am I bothered that you got
that's
it wrong?
Why I did it so you could do
look
the
at my face. Is my face bothered that you got my catchphrase wrong? No. Look, face, Charlie, face, bothered. I ain't bothered.
Okay, I have a question for you guys. Because Sheila is able to seem nonplussed because she goes, it was probably just a car backfiring. Have you guys ever heard a car backfire?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I haven't.
In person, I don't think.
From my understanding, it was a thing that happened on cars made prior to the 70s.
My stepdad restores a lot of classic cars, and I just kind of got used to it.
And when,
he would be working on stuff, and then just pop, I'd hear that coming out of the garage. So
yeah, so it's just one of those things that I feel like is a sort of vestigial reference point of like, oh hey, no, it wasn't a gun, it was a car backfiring. It's like those don't do that anymore unless it's a classic car, which I believe is why, at least where I live now, it's not. A car backfiring is it's fireworks or gunshots. That said, I've now moved, so I'm more safely in the fireworks area than in the gunshots area. Also, here's the time for a Ben PSA. Guys, when it's New Year's Eve, don't go shooting guns in the air. Both my and my wife's cars have been hit by bullets because somebody decided to do a New Year's pop. It's part of why I moved.
So, Kevin tries to convince the regulars here at the Alibi
Frank.
To not ruin his relationship.
Frank.
Oh, God. I just got flipped at some point, and it's probably...
No, not lip.
I see it fucked for at least three more lines.
So, Frank now has...
Frank tries to convince the regulars at the Alibi not to ruin this relationship, despite him having sex with Karen and them all knowing.
Well, I'm not sure it was... I hope it's not Karen, because that's creepy as fuck, but the dude mentioned you slept with her daughter, so maybe she has more than one daughter.
I'm hoping so.
That is maybe a little older. Oh, God. Because that would mean that Karen has hooked up with both Lip and the fucking father and son.
And Ian.
and Ian.
Oh, yeah, and Ian.
Debbie invites someone in her class who has a thing for her brother to the party.
Well, first she invites Simon, who's a nice chess boy.
Yep.
Because and the only reason she invites the nice chess boy is because he knows Holly, who this gave me the super ick.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that actress is 16. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to look up how old that actress was, and I found a Reddit thread, and I would like to respond directly to that Reddit thread right now if any of them
Please
are
do.
Listening. They mentioned it was like, oh yeah, she was 16 at time of filming, and a bunch of people in said thread were saying an r.shameless were saying, yeah, what's the big deal, because apparently the age of consent in most European countries is between like 14 and 16.
As soon as you know the age of consent anywhere, you should just go to jail.
I would just like to say that,
unless you're that age, and I guess you're looking about yourself because you've got questions.
No, you go to jail.
It should be part of sex education, to be perfectly honest.
I would just like to say I do not consider myself patriotic, despite my career choice. The United States has tons of problems, many, many problems, but in this case we got it right. Okay. 18, that's fucking God bless America in this one aspect. Okay. So uncomfortable scene with Holly Herkimer. Okay, so for listeners listening, we're referencing they go to Holly's house to invite her over to the slumber party, and she comes out wearing like a freaking next to nothing and high heels.
Right.
Yeah, she is she's very much the teenage girl
on her
who
way
is...
to a pool, we hope.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Ugh.
Do you wear heels to a pool though?
I don't know. This whole thing bothered me so much that I was just like waiting for it to end.
Yeah.
Just
like I don't know about I knew girls in high school like this. Where it was just like,
of course,
hey, I've decided that I'm going to hypersexualize myself. It was,
I knew she
was
too young because of her hands. Like, you can tell a lot about a person from their hands. Not a lot of people know this, but her hands just made her look very, very young, like teenager. You can tell a lot of a person by their hands. Like, you can tell their age, you can read their palms, and you can tell their future, and you can count their fingers, and you can tell if they're AI created or not. So, yeah. tell a lot of things about a person by their hands. So.
Good call. Or I guess if you count their fingers, you might also learn that they had a bad day in wood shop in high school.
That is a worry. It is a family tradition of from one of my family, one of my mom's side, for the men to lose fingers. So
yeah, I'm aware because you've been in my wood shop.
So we cut back to Fiona and Debbie trying to, making plans for Debbie's birthday party, even though it's not her birthday. And then suddenly Amy Smart bursts through the door. And she is, I didn't write her name.
Jamie.
The character.
Or Jasmine.
Character. Jamie.
Jasmine.
Jasmine, that sounds right, yeah. Is just a professional full-time sugar baby.
Who's married.
Yes. It sounds like, I get the impression that she's married to a couple of guys. So. Or at the very least, yeah. She just got home from sleeping on a boat from one of her sugar daddies.
Yep.
It was very random. random scene.
Yep, so she won't be able to make it to the party, but her brothers kind of jump in and decide to make sure that Debbie has a good time. And Fiona randomly invites Steve, who we know is in Mexico
at a burn unit.
Prison in a burn unit.
Yes, I love this theory.
Madre de Dios, y fuego!
Then we cut back to Debbie at her full-time daycare job, singing with the kids. I love this song. The people on the bus all smell like pee. Smell like pee. Smell like pee. I have been singing that every day since I saw this episode. Oh, that was great.
Ian tries to get Philip to let Karen be. And Carl, we learn, is destined to become a serial killer.
Yeah.
What part would Carl do?
He talks about how he got a Woody in history class.
Oh, yes.
When hearing about Marie Antoinette's beheading.
Oh, fucking Carl.
Yeah,
well,
Carl
Carl's
going to end up, like, going down, like, in a shootout with the police.
Glad he's not torturing animals anymore. He's moving up in my eyes anyway.
They start setting up for the party. And Frank does give us some wisdom here. Some wisdom I was not expecting from this show. A lesson that I will take with me the rest of my life. Something that will make me think about things in a different light for the rest of it. And that is, chicken nuggets are actually just mini schnitzels.
That was a very good point. Yeah.
I went and made chicken nuggets after this and was all like, oh, schnitzel.
But I would say that the initial point that they make in the scene that schnitzel is just chicken parm without the cheese or the sauce. No, because chicken parm is usually a cutlet, whereas schnitzel is usually pounded out, and a chicken nugget is ground.
Isn't a cutlet just half of a chicken breast though?
Yeah, but it is just breaded. It is not beaten out or ground and then clumped together like a hamburger and then breaded. The difference is what you do to the chicken before.
Okay. I feel like I should know this from all the Food Network that I've watched, but damn, not retaining anything there.
So then we see Sheila leave for the night to go see a friend, and Frank suddenly just goes, oh no, as the doorbell rings. And his buddy Dave from the bar shows up. Dave, who we saw earlier, only has one arm, has come over to do a, and that's why you always leave a note.
And we find out why Frank stole the ketchup earlier from the fridge. Was from his fake blood. Yep.
I love that Jody is all just like, all right, I'm going to go look for the arm.
Yeah. He is a perfect blank slate of a man.
After this, we start Debbie's party. Popcorn is getting popped. People start to arrive. The movie is mostly a cover for the kids to just be... I don't know if I'm repressed or if this is weird. And Ben, I don't want your opinion on this because I know you're repressed. So Victor.
I'm just right. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Yeah, horror movies were, when I was a kid, were always an excuse to, you know, make out with a girl. So,
okay. At 11, though?
No, well, not for me, because I actually also was repressed at that age. I was raised a Mormon until
just talked about this, didn't
we? And when I became a young teenager, I kind of... See, the problem is people who are born into a cult don't realize it's a cult. So it wasn't until I saw a little bit of the rest of the world when I got older that I realized, oh my God, I'm in a fucking cult. So I would apologize to our Mormon listeners out there, but I won't. So...
I don't think we've managed to maintain a Mormon listener. I think if one started this episode, I wouldn't be too concerned about them making it this far.
This podcast is filthy.
Yes. Yes, we're a filthy podcast reviewing a filthy show. That should be our new tagline. Anyways.
This did make me sad, though, because while they're watching the movie, I don't know if you guys caught this, Simon tries to put his arm around Deb, who slides under it to, like, try and put the 11-year-old moves on to Hank, who is ignoring her to smell Holly's hair.
Oh, God, that was so creepy.
And it's just, like, I hate, like, pushing kids into a relationship in any way, but it's just like, come on, Deb, Simon is the only guy here who might make it out of this town.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah, it was funny when they mentioned the Holly. They're saying you invited the Holly Hickey Maker. isn't she like 15? And Debbie goes, "It's not her fault. She's still in the fourth grade." Yes, it is.
Yeah. Which, if they're in the fourth grade, that means she's held back several times. I don't know what your guys' schools were. At a certain point, like, you don't go to regular school anymore. I know they had a special school where I'm from, and we didn't have a Chicago size, you know, school system.
Yeah, that would be my expectation as well.
Like this girl would be in remedial. Like ours was called options.
options. You're hilarious. Gonna need them. I have to wonder if maybe it's just like a shell game almost. Like she got held back in first grade, second grade, third grade, and fourth grade, but only once in each.
That makes sense.
Maybe she's moved enough. I don't know. I'm not going to put too much power into thinking about this. Yeah. Lip and Mandy leave the party to take the bus to get downtown. And in turn, he sends her to Chody to see if he'll cheat on Karen.
Yeah, this
like
is
that
the
moral high ground matters.
Yeah. What the fuck, Lip? And this seems to be like his special skill.
Yes.
Is getting girls to do sex with other guys at his request. Like, that's his talent. When he was building his character sheet, that's the perk that he picked. I don't even know what to call
it. It is weird
that
we've seen it in every episode.
Yeah.
Buggery, I believe is the word you're looking
buggery.
For.
Buggery? Yeah. You just casually. Just
buggery
like,
is.
Oh, hey.
Buggery is sodomy.
You're not wrong.
No, I'm learning so many things this episode.
This is like in the group chat the other day when you shat on my joke, Ben. I made the best fucking joke in the group chat, and you just shat on it completely because you didn't get a pun.
I'm sorry. I saw the.
You know what?
I saw the push.
Listeners,
I was picking my son up from school.
I'm gonna tell this joke to the listeners.
It was a good joke.
I'm gonna tell it without context, and I'm gonna say right now, you're like, oh. Last time on group, you're like, oh, last time on host group chat. That sounds fun. Sometimes, but it's 80% logistics. Every single podcast you've ever listened to where the people who were on that podcast do not live together has a group chat like this. And it is 80% logistics, 10% memes, and 10% reacting to shit that happens because of the podcast. And it's truly 80% logistics. You're not missing much. It's, hey, can we record today? No, I've got a sore throat. So, but we're in there and we are delaying the podcast so that a host can have some special time. I'm not going to get into details. And I go, well, in Laszlo's hierarchy of needs, sex is both the top and the bottom of the pyramid. Now, this is obviously a pun on I shouldn't say obviously. This is a pun on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's also a what we do in the shadows joke, because Laszlo is a sex-obsessed switch in that show. He's both a top and a bottom. So it works on layers. The joke is
I can hear it in Matthew Berry's voice.
Yeah, right? It's something his character would say. Well, in Laszlo's hierarchy of needs, sex is the top and bottom of the pyramid. Like, it works in character. And Ben, ignoring my little, this is a what we do in the shadows joke that I put right after, goes, it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm just remembering my psych degree. And it's all like, motherfucker, I make a pun with around you for like the first time. I give you shit for your bad puns all the time. And you got to come in and shit on the one pun I make. You're supposed to encourage me, Ben. This is how more puns get allowed.
No, it's my thing. Stay in your lane, Jafar. Excel sheets.
Boo.
What we really need is an Excel sheet about puns.
I won't make it.
Oh, yes, you will. I think you will.
So then we cut to Fiona is walking home from work, and she's picked up by a guy named Adam. I've got a question for you guys. How long did you guys watch this with subtitles on?
Yes.
Okay. So how quickly were you sure that this wasn't actually Steve?
It took him a second or two. I was like, oh, Steve's back. No, that's not Steve.
Yeah.
She even makes a joke about cars getting lifted.
Yeah, I'm just like.
Yes, I love that. There's a lot of callbacks to the original episode we saw in this one.
Yeah, but he's way too drunk, so she drives him home as the 14-year-old tries to get with Philip. He turns her down. She storms out as Fiona arrives, and this is the moment the party combusts.
Yep.
I loved that Debbie was all just like, what the hell? Well, couldn't you just do her so my party doesn't suck?
Right. There's a number of reasons. I'm really glad he didn't.
Yeah.
How old do we think Philip is?
Well, he's still in high school, so is he? Wait, he is, isn't he?
He might have been last season. He might not be this season.
I think he's at least
18.
That
is how time works.
Yeah. Well, we know little brother Joker is still in high school.
Yeah.
At the very least. And I'm assuming Mandy is as well. Yeah. Yeah. He's at the oldest, I'd say he's 17, 18. So, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 19. Maybe.
Yep. Oh, we know he's definitely under 21 because there was that scene with Kevin
with the
at the bar.
ID.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. He's like, show me something. I got to cover my ass here.
Oh, I had a fake ID. There's something trashy from my past in high school.
I believe it.
Oh, you had a fake ID? Awesome.
I had a fake ID that said that I was 20. Because I didn't care about drinking. I cared about getting into the bar and the club with my friends who were older than me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I just had, no one questions a fake ID that doesn't let you drink. It was never once examined thoroughly enough for it to be a thing.
Where are we at?
Yeah, so party implodes. Sheila... It's the morning now. Sheila reveals that she thinks Frank works at the alibi, we find out. But not before she gets some toes in that butthole.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Is that what was happening
that
there?
Was, yep. That's what was happening. That was some toes
she's,
up the butthole.
Now, the way that this is projected, she's putting different toes in the butthole all at the same time, or is she taking them out and going in between?
Listeners in the Discord,
I just want to know your opinion.
Let us know what's going on here. I'm not
Frank getting foot fisted in the butthole.
Yes, he is.
That's all I want to know.
Yeah, he's getting foot fisted in the butthole.
Back at the Gallagher's, Craig and his wife show up to make their problems everyone's problems.
Yeah.
Oh God, this was hilarious.
And then Karen beats the shit out of Lip for his interference.
And
also, she's pregnant.
Yep.
Yeah, that was odd. I thought that after she dropped that, you know, she's pregnant, everyone at the pool party was suddenly like, you know, a teen pregnancy is not a surprise in this group of people. So I don't know what the hell that was supposed to.
I did like the.
I'm guessing the implication is that it's Lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like the brief minute of. Lip seeing Karen coming over, and he's like, yes, my plan worked, and now she is coming back, running back to me, and then she just kicks him square in the dick. And it's just like,
Yeah.
Maybe you should have called up Mandy and found out what happened last night, dude.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently, all this goes down.
Jody is a man of principles who just walks around with his dick hanging out.
Well, but he's
all
also
day.
He is clearly in his like early 20s, mid 20s, and it's just like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe don't send a high schooler over to try and seduce him.
Fair.
But also, then what is he doing with Karen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, and then that's the start of the credits.
And now I'm mad.
And then there's a scene right after. We get like two credits. And then we cut over to Frank and Sheila as Sheila prepares to go to the alibi. Frank's already late for work. They've got to go. And he's trying to stall. And Sheila pulls out her map to figure out the path so that she can count her steps properly. And as she does, a hunk of airplane falls off and lands feet in front of her.
Yeah. Not making this up. This is what happened. A fucking landing gear.
Landing gear just falls.
Spawned. It spawned in the air right above her and smashed. Scares the shit out of her. Sheila goes running back into the house, and Frank is so relieved. Like, yes, thank you, God. And Sheila says she never wants to leave the house again.
Yep.
Problem solved, apparently, which I still don't understand why Sheila leaving the house means Frank is going to be kicked out.
She'll find out that he doesn't have a job.
But is that it, really? Like, is that all there is?
I'm guessing that was terms of him staying there, was that he had to get a job, and he lied about getting one.
That makes sense, then.
Or she'll find out, it'll be the first thread in pulling apart the, hey, you're lying to me about everything.
Yeah. But yeah, so this was some chunk of a plane from either O'Hare or Midway, depending on if they're on the north side or south side of Chicago. Just a little air. I've flown a lot, you know. I've had to drive home from both of these airports a number of times because of canceled flights. So it fucking sucks. But yeah, some landing gear saves the day. Now it is like maybe like a foot in front of her, right? Yeah. If this plane is taking off or landing, it's safe to assume that it's probably at least, given we don't hear the plane taking off or landing, it's probably 2,000, 3,000 feet in the air.
Did you do some math?
I didn't do the math because I don't need to.
This
would have eviscerated her at that distance.
Oh, yeah.
The impact would have thrown her back.
Mm-hmm.
It would not. She would not live.
Yeah, most definitely.
I don't need to do the math on newtons and terminal velocity and stuff to know that that's the case. Because that's fucking heavy. Mm. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would have broken apart because it just lands completely intact with some more bad CGI, which I just got. I love the bad CGI in this show. It works. It really ties everything together. It's wonderful.
Now, the other thing is, so what kind of settlement are they going to get?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure this is money for the Gallagher somehow.
Just be like laying under it like, oh, no. It got me.
Somehow I'm alive.
They do, yeah.
All right.
Was there another after credits scene? Said, you said there were two.
No.
Okay, that was it. All right.
No, it was like two credits after the scene. It's like they only got two names up and then this started. It was very quick. You were just a little trigger happy on the stopping the episode, which I get because it autoplays pretty quick usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just noticed a fun bit of continuity here. I got the episode playing up on my TV while we're recording. And when, what is her name? The angry wife who's trying to be on
Lucy Jo.
When her and the husband show up at the Gallagher's house, she returns the baseball bat that she stole the first time she showed up. She comes back, hands it to Debbie, and was like, you can have this back now.
All right. Well, it's time to roll some dice and see what episode we're watching next.
I'm so looking forward to this. I can't wait to see the next episode. What do we got? What do we got, Javier?
That is a 16.
Oh, wow. Are we in episode three?
We are season three, episode eight. Let's see here. When There's a Will.
All right.
When the family gathers for Aunt Ginger's fake funeral, Frank's cousin shows up with his own forged will that grants him ownership of the house.
That's brilliant. I mean, terrible, but it's brilliant.
I think it's time for some predictions.
It's time for some predictions.
Lincoln, what are you doing up there?
Guessing. I
guess no one's coming. I have seen into
the future. You ruined the prophecy.
All right, I need 1 minute.
I can go first. That's fine. I can record mine while you're finishing yours, Ben.
Well, first off, I would like to go over my predictions from last time so far.
I didn't even think to look at mine.
Because of the way that I'm doing this, it's like all my predictions. I'm trying to make them so they're stuff that we can score immediately. I'm doing mine off of things that we see happen during our watch through. And my predictions is that every episode we're going to watch so far is going to have crime, violence, and nudity. So we definitely had some crimes. We had Grand Theft Luger. That definitely happened. We had violence. Mm-hmm. We had Lip getting kicked in the groin. Oh, and of course, the opening.
And the gun.
And did we have any nudity?
Oh, yeah.
Did we have any nudity, guys?
Chody.
Was there nudity? I don't know. It wasn't obvious or nothing. So...
Also, Lip and Mandy.
So, hey, I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still at. Butts. So that would be 6
There's
points
butts so in the theme song.
Yes, so. There are lots of butts.
All right. Well, my predictions this time are 3 of characters that we will never see again.
Oh,
all right.
So this is we will never see. This is in the episodes that we watch. Not necessarily no more appearances in the show after this point. We're never going to see Little Hank again, is my daytime prediction.
Ooh, yeah. He's going to end up either in jail or...
He seems transient. Speaking of transient, my evening pick is we're never going to see Adam again.
Which one's
the guy from the end of this episode who was drunk. He seems like he didn't get enough...
Yes. Yes.
Not Steve.
Oh, we missed a good line, too, because he left his BMW parked out.
Oh, yeah.
Will my car still be there in the morning? Parts of it.
Yeah. And my primetime prediction, we are never seeing Ethel again.
Aww. Oh, poor Ethel. They're going to put her back in the cryopod.
Child Protected Services or something, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. One of Lip's ideas to get at Jody was to put child porn on his computer. And it's just like...
Yeah, of his little brother.
Dude.
Yikes. Little brother Liam. Lip, dude. Oh, God. Lip went full... chaotic evil this episode.
He is like. Little Frank.
He is Little Frank, very much so.
All right, I got mine
Ben,
done.
You ready?
So I will go daytime. Every time, every episode where we see Fiona, we are either going to see or hear referenced a male love interest that is new, that we have not encountered before. So every time we see her, there's going to be a guy she is hooking up with that is different from the ones we've seen before. My evening prediction.
All right.
Frank eventually does get a job at the Alibi. Mm. And my primetime prediction is Little Hank gets Carl arrested.
Oh, I was going to say, I agree with Ben's prediction that we're not going to see Little Hank again because he's going to be in jail. But yeah, that could also happen as well. I could very much see that. He's a bad influence on Carl.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's my turn now. Daytime prediction. So in this episode, we saw Carl taking a whiz on the plants mm-hmm. that they're supposed to be house sitting of. I'm going to say at least one more time, we're going to see someone pee where they shouldn't.
Safe bet.
Yeah. At least once we're going to have an episode where someone is in jail the entire time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And prime time, someone's going to get hit by a car. With a bonus point if it's intentional.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, with all that said, do we have anything else to do before we wrap this up?
Nope.
Just, we got to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ripe, for letting us use Goon Squad as our theme. We really appreciate it. They're touring all summer. They've got a ton of shows. I think I saw a show by you, Vic. Check
really?
Their... I'm not going to like put your address out or anything, but I think I saw a place that sounded like it was near you. So be sure to check out their tour schedule. Ben, they are not coming close to us. I think we'd have to go to Ohio.
Oh, no one wants to go to Ohio.
No one wants to
There's
go to
There's no reason to go to Ohio.
They're touring. So if you like our theme song, go listen to them. Their last year's album was fantastic. Go listen to it and go see them on tour. Give them some love.
Most
Great
definitely.
Band.
And speaking of giving some love, if you like our podcast, please feel free to leave us a 5-star review on Facebook or iTunes. And if you do, we will give you a shout out here on the show. And if you don't like our podcast, just keep that shit to yourself.
Feel free to interact with us online. You can join the Last Time On Listener Lounge, join the What Happened Here Productions Discord, and shoot us an email at lasttimeon@gmail.com.
Oh, and to get into the Last Time On Listener's Lounge, it's on Facebook. Just do a search for it. And the password is
What Happened Here.
Yep. And we will see you all next time on Last Time On.